Morning. Over the last couple of months, you've heard as a teaching team us all talk about this word wholehearted, kind of what we think it means for us as Christians and what it means for us as a church. And today we just want to hear from you. What do you feel? It may be something that's struck you in one of the sermons that touched you and you want to testify about it. It may be you've had your own thoughts, something we didn't say as a teaching team about what it means to you. Something God's doing with you in your life on that, I'm making you wholehearted. Maybe think they'll help other people here be that, because that's what we want to be as a church. We don't want to be putting all our time into this. We don't want to be putting all our time into this as a church in our lives with God and kind of be doing it half-hearted. It's a waste of our time if we're doing it like that. You know, it's got to be all in, as Jim said the other week. So, yeah, I'm just going to stand here and wait for someone to take this microphone off me. I'll stare at you for the next half hour if that's what it takes. Okay? Because I know there are people here. No one wants to be first. I know in half an hour's time, I'm going to have the opposite problem where people are queuing up to come and speak. And it's like, you know, the kids' church are getting a bit nervous about when they're coming back in, which is fine. But someone's got to be first. So I'm just going to keep staring at you. You never clap like that when I get up to speak.
Yep, this is just a really tiny nothingness, but Adrian just said there about I can't remember what he said, but it was something along the lines of doing something that you're not comfortable about doing. This is so tiny, but I was in the shop the other day and a lad came up behind me with a tin of soup and some pasta. So I let him go first. And I was just looking at him and I noticed he had a backpack and a sleeping bag and a tent. So I thought, oh my God, and he's only a young fella, and I looked at his trousers and they were really dirty, and I thought, you know, he must be homeless. So I could feel myself wanting to give him some money, but I thought, well, I don't want to embarrass him here. So he walked on. So I quickly paid for my shopping and went out of the shop and looked around, and I couldn't see him anywhere. And I was like, oh, why didn't I just say something? But obviously, one, I wasn't sure that he was homeless. And I was like, well, you know, what if he isn't? And I'm about to give him 20 quid. So I looked around the car park, couldn't see him, got in the car and told Dave and Adriana. And I said, did you see him? And blah, blah, blah. And they said no. And I thought, so I was really disappointed. I thought, why didn't they just do it there and then? But anyway, So I just said, I thought to myself, right, I know how God works, and he'll present this fella to me again if that's, you know, if he wanted me to give him 20 quid. So there's four ways you can leave, you know, walk from this shop. And so we're driving up our way, and there he is at the top of the road. And I'm like, Dave, there he is, you know. What do we do? What do we do? And Dave said, go and give him the money. And I said, well, what if he's not homeless? And he was like, it's up to you. And I was like, oh, I couldn't. I don't think I can do it. So I'm sitting there as we were driving up, and I'm thinking, right, what do we do? And I'm like, stop the car. So, and I could hear myself saying, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. But I did. You know, I just felt, I heard God saying, you said, present them. I presented them. Go over. So I'm running up the street going, excuse me, excuse me. And I said to him, I thought, I can't say you're homeless. So I just said, you're not traveling. Are you a traveler? And he said, no. And I was so amazed. And I was like, oh, I don't believe this. And there's me with my 20 quid and all. So I said, oh, I'm really sorry. I said, I just seen the sleeping bag in the tent. And he said, no, I've been camping for the weekend. And I was like, oh, I'm really sorry. And he said, no. He said, I'm really glad that there's people like you out there that would, you know, want to do, you know, give money and stuff. But that isn't the part of the story that I feel was for me. I feel that I was terrified, as a lot of people know, I have all this fear stuff going on. I was terrified of, one, showing myself up, and to him saying, I'm not homeless. And I just want to say that one, I wanted to do it. God wanted me to do it. I didn't want to do it, but I did it. So just being obedient, that's it.
Thanks, God, yeah.
I hate painful silences. It's not so much on wholeheartedness, because for me that's something that every sermon I have been sat there thinking I need to do that more. So it's something that the sermons have been really good, actually, because they're highlighting and challenging me in terms of what I need to do more in terms of God and really just making him more of a focus. But there were just a couple of things I wanted to share, really. And the first of it was that I sat with Mark about, I don't know, 6-7 weeks ago. And I come home after a few Sundays where Georgina was quite trying. And I got to sort of creche stage, and she wouldn't settle in creche without me. And I just, and we were sat in the back room, which, I mean, it's so much better now. They're through there and they can't see us. But I really felt that I couldn't concentrate on a sermon, because I was either in there with her and trying to concentrate on the sermon on the speaker, but that just clearly never happened. And I was just getting to the point, I was getting frustrated, and I said to Mark, I said, you know, I've got a baby on the way, praise God, but it's just going to make things even harder, you know, and I'll have Molly, and I'll have Georgina, and I'll have a baby, and maybe I just either won't go, or maybe I'll just go for the worship bit to begin with, and then I'll leave, because I think it's just going to be really difficult. You know, I said, and we sort of prayed on it and said, you know, we'll see what happens. And then I think it was literally the next week, we came in, and Kirsty and I, as you know, are always really close, but I haven't really seen a lot of her recently. We've not drifted apart, but kind of just not really seen a lot of each other. And we came in, and Kirsty was there, and Georgina just straight away left me, which doesn't happen a great deal, and just ran straight over to Kirsty and spent the entire session just sat on Kirsty's lap colouring, and I was like, yes, I can see there's light at the end of the tunnel here, and she will settle with someone. And then the next week we moved to that back room, and she just settled amazingly. And I know she didn't last week, but in general she's so much better to do that. And I just thought, it's just God's just there, and it's only in the little things, but actually it's not little things, it's I go to church. And I just thought that was incredible. And then the couple of other things were, I really feel like I've been massively under attack, massively, from the devil in the last few weeks. And I was having these horrendous, very violent, awful dreams. And I could, you know, when you wake up, you know the devil's in it. And you know to just ignore it, but you can't, because it sort of takes over. You're not sleeping well anyway. And it sort of culminated last Saturday night. And I got about an hour's sleep, because I kept waking up and looking over at the back of our door of our bedroom, which has, for some reason, given there's two of us, about 6 dressing gowns on it. don't know why. And I tried to explain it to Mark. I sounded slightly psychopathic, but it looked like a beekeeper, like the outline of a beekeeper. And I don't know how, when the door was almost shut and there was a bit of light from the landing coming through from the lamp, but it just, every time I opened my eyes, it was like this person was just stood in the doorway looking at me. It totally freaked me out. And I'm not someone that tends to freak out too easily, but I was really freaked out. And I clearly wasn't very well either, and I ended up with sort of fevers and chills and stuff. But I just couldn't differentiate. Was it something physical? Was it something, you know, spiritual going on? And I felt like I was lying in a bed of coals. I just felt so hot. And then when I felt the sheet and I felt myself, I didn't feel very hot. And I thought, this is ridiculous. So I lay there and I just prayed on it and was like, you know, get out of my house. You are not welcome here. I am absolutely a child of God. I'm not interested in you. I really stood against that. And then I kept thinking, I'll go in the spare room. There's a bit more room and get comfy. Mark's not like my space. And then I thought, no, I don't want to get in the spare rooms. It's like a big beekeeper scary guy in the doorway. I thought, no, you just pray to God, grow a pair. So I went next door and I got in the spare room. But literally, by the time I sat in the spare room bed, I just can't tell you, I couldn't hold a glass of water. I got such bad chills and shakes. And I think it probably was the fever kicking in. However, I went straight back to bed and woke Mark, who bless him, never sees me like that, and was like, you're just going to have to pray for me because I just feel awful and I don't know what's going on. I don't know if it's the devil or whatever. And so we sat there and prayed, and he blessed the Connect group. I'm so sorry that he texted you all at like 2 a.m. saying, can you all just pray? But I was totally freaked out. And you know what? Since that night, I haven't had another bad dream. I just feel like all that fear has genuinely been handed over to God. And the words of that song about fear just being completely taken up by him is so true. And he's just been so fantastic in the everyday big things to me, but little things to everyone else kind of thing. That's just wonderful. And we're seeing it time in, time out. And it makes me feel more guilty about the wholehearted piece, because obviously I clearly need to recognise more his power and his love and his specific focus on us. And just to, my final point was, obviously we're coming up to this baby being due next week now, and Mark has 2 weeks of statutory paternity leave with Amazon, and they're an American company, so they don't tend to do the paternity leave like we do here. So, like, it wasn't a massive big deal, but I think it probably played on our mind just a little bit, the fact, obviously, I'll not be working, he'll not get sort of really very much pay for those 2 weeks, and the sort of extra financial pressure that puts on, and bits and bobs. And I think we'd not been praying for it specifically, but I think it was kind of in the back of our minds, really, just that we would like God's guidance with it, and just a bit of protection, really, as we come into this new sort of challenge. And we went away last week, and I started my mat leave on the 1st of May. And on the 2nd of May, Mark got an email to say they've completely turned around their paternity leave from 2 weeks of statutory to 6 weeks of fully paid paternity leave. And we were like, whoa, it's amazing. And actually, the best bit of it, and we both said it, was the fact that we're both going to be there, not just for baby, but for Molly as well at weekends. And I mean, 6 weeks, hallelujah, of Mark come to church, which I'm really excited about, and obviously sets us up back to sort of being at church and trying to handle the 3 children stuff. So just praise God. He's just such a provider. Thank you. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you. This isn't something that's from me, and I'd love to be wholehearted with God, and I'm really praying that in. But Kaylee really encouraged me the other day. And as you know, she's got like a degree in aerial dancing, and she always wants to be on the West End. And she won a scholarship to go into the main school that would get you onto the West End. But the 2 boys that were in the group got the money, and her dad wouldn't pay for it. So anyway, bearing in mind she's only been a Christian for 2 years, she said, when I went to Bradford, I laid down everything, all my dreams, all my ambitions, everything I wanted and thought. And I know she struggled with it, because I've held her while she's cried to say, that should have been me. You know, people on Facebook, and I'm on 7-7, I'm in Cats, and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, and she's going to, and as you know, and I know I'm biased, she is beautiful. And I think, wow, why aren't you discovered? Well, anyway, and this is a bit of showing off, in Cherish. She won't tell me what it is, because I've got a mouth like the Mersey Tunnel. So she said, I'm on stage every single night. She said, and the thing that's hit me most in my life that people have prayed for since I've been saved is the very thing I'll be ministering about. And she's dancing. I said, are you singing? Are you singing? She said, no, I'm dancing. I said, are you aerial dancing? She said, I'm not telling you, so I don't know. I think she's going to fly in on something, and because it's called Light Up the Sky. So I think she's just going to come flying through, and I'm going to cry. I'll probably do my dance mum face, Sarah, and everything. But the thing is, what she got me, and I just bawled my eyes out. She said, I'm going to be ministering to 7,000 women. And I was like, so she went off FaceTime and left me. But be encouraged, put down everything that, like, and I'm doing it now with all my dreams and all my desires, seriously. My friends know everything I've ever wanted. I mean, I always wanted to be a nurse, and I'm rubbish at fainting in a hospital car park. And every time I've tried to get somewhere, it's just been slam, slam, slam at the door. And, you know, even being married and everything just goes flat on its face. And it's because I think I want that more than I want God. And I think, how could God's plan ever be better? I know he's going to hold out on me, and I'm going to be wearing floral dresses and making cakes for the rest of my life. And I'm not that type of girl. So I'm laying down everything. Not that I'm wild or anything, but I'm laying down everything now, and I'm going to take God at his word. And he's got me now wholeheartedly, Sam. He is a jealous God, Sam. Amen. Amen.
I just thought, I've not really thought what I'm going to say, but I just, so I don't know how it's going to come across, but just a few things that I wanted to try and say about the wholehearted theme, which to me really felt like it was summed up in Jim's sermon, so I didn't want to sort of like try and add on to that in any way, but more about what God's been saying to me, because, you know, even for a long time, God was sort of saying things to me through a few of the parables and stuff. Mention a couple of them for you now. The first one was the pearl of great price, and that, you know, to purchase what God's got, it costs you everything. It's not just some of it. And there's also looking at the one where, you know, the guy goes and sells all he has to buy the field. And I just feel like it was a challenge to me, and hopefully it was to other people as well, but it was that to buy that field, it doesn't cost you sort of like half your possessions or even 90% of your possessions, your life, the things that belong to you. It's absolutely everything. And I've sort of almost felt scared, really, that I would be like the rich young ruler, which is another one that God was saying, where he felt like he'd done everything. He come to Jesus and said, what do I lack? I feel like I've done everything. And when Jesus said, you know, sell everything you've got, he was like, he just went away sad. And I thought, I hope I would not be like that, because it's the parts of, I'm sure God could point stuff out to me quite easily and say, and I would go away sad. Because if God said to me, sell everything you got, would I do it? Or there might be something else that's sort of precious to me that I haven't really given over. And it's really just been a real challenge to me, because like the rest of you, really, really want to see God move in my life and then the people that I work with and I'm surrounded with. But I'm not going to see that if I'm giving even 90% to God. I'm just not going to see it. So I can keep coming here singing and wanting it. It's not going to happen. So it's been a real challenge, because I thought, and I've probably said this to a couple of people, but I don't sort of depend on God for a lot of things like some people do. Like, you know, when I wake up in the morning, I know I've got breakfast there to eat in the morning. I'm not sort of like having to cry out to God because I've got no food and things like that. There's so much of the things that we've got in this society that you can, I know God gives it to you, but you can provide for yourself, so you don't feel dependence on him in that way all the time. But what in my life am I doing that requires faith? Because if I think about most weeks, I could go through that week. Doesn't need any faith, because I'm doing it for myself. I need to step out into what God's got for me, into the impossible, because that's where God resides, in the impossible and the supernatural, not in the normal things that I can just do. You know, even some things which are quite good, they're just within my capabilities. And like Adrian was saying, stepping out of your comfort zone to the things that you don't feel comfortable and capable to do, that's when you see God step in, because that's when you know it's not you. It's beyond what you can do. And so the whole idea of giving everything over to God so that then he can work, because that's no longer just you then. It was just a real challenge to me. Just wanted to say that.
About 6 months ago, I was going on my walk. I go walking quite a lot, and I have a route that I do like when the weather's nice. So it's out through the fields behind my house. So I was just walking along. I'm miles away. I don't even know if there's anyone around or anything. And as I was walking, I tripped. Yes, this is not a good story for my pride. But yeah, I tripped. And then I realised I'm not just tripping, I'm falling. And I fell in slow motion. It was all very slow. And I fell and landed flat on my face in the middle of this field. Luckily, it wasn't wet. It was dusty, so I kind of immediately got up, looked round. Is there anybody here with me? There was a bloke, but he was miles away. I don't think he saw me. So I dusted myself off and walked home thinking, blimey, you know, how would an ambulance have got to me if I'd really hurt myself? Because I was in the middle of the fields. I don't even think there's signal out there. And I sort of felt all right. And then a couple of days later, my knee swelled up to like huge proportions, and I was really, really struggling. And I was kind of limping around for about a week and a half, to the point where doctors at work were telling me to go and get an x-ray. I didn't. It all died down and God sort of sorted it out. But it was that thing of just walking along and then suddenly falling. and just a few weeks ago, that's what it felt like happened with this illness that I've got. I know I sent the prayer chain round. I had this condition diagnosed about, I don't know, it was about 6-7 years ago, I think, 6 years ago. I was in a lot of pain at the time. If people knew me then, I was really struggling to walk, to move at all. It affects all your joints and your muscles, your connective tissues and everything. So I was like a crippled old woman before it was diagnosed for about 18 months, 2 years. And then eventually they kind of said what it was, sorted it out, and they gave me the medication. And this medication, once it was in my system, it was like healed, you know. And I testified, I did get prayer before, and God did a healing in me to 75%. And then this medication that they gave me only works in 25% of people. And it worked for me. So, like, God made the difference. And so for the last 5 years, I felt like I have nothing wrong with me, to the point where when you fill in medical forms, I forget to put it down because I don't feel ill at all. I have to take the medication, and if I forget to take it, I kind of get a little bit swollen hands and stuff. So, you know, the medication is there, but no symptoms whatsoever. So I'm walking like 4 to 5 miles several times a week would be normal, you know, behavior for me. And then suddenly, out of nowhere, it flared up. And I was just wiped out physically. I couldn't move. Obviously, I couldn't come to church, couldn't go to work. I was in pain, you know, awake, crying in the night with the pain, waking myself up crying with the pain. And emotionally, it just pulled the rug out from under me. I was an absolute basket case. And suddenly, all this fear rose up in me, and we were singing about fear this morning. And it was back to what it reminded me at first was back to the divorce. It's 10 years this year since the divorce. And the feeling that I had was of this kind of future, like with me not being able to cope and me being on my own. How am I going to cope on my own? At the time then, it was about how am I going to be a good mother to the children on my own and all this kind of stuff. And then when I was ill about 5 years ago, it was, how am I going to cope on my own when I'm a crippled old person? You know, I felt like I was like 90. I couldn't even walk up the stairs. And how am I going to be? And this fear. And then all that fear had gone, because obviously God had healed me and I was fine. But then just in that week, this fear rose its head like this big black monster again. And it was like, you know, it was all those ridiculous, and they were ridiculous. In daylight, I was all right, but it was in the middle of the night. How are you going to cope on your own? What if it doesn't get better? What if this is it? You're going to flare up all the time. What if you can't drive to work? What if you can't walk to the shops? What if you can't clean your house? You know, blah, 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 all this kind of stuff. And so then God did begin to wear it off, and they gave me this injection, and I was better, but I wasn't quite back at work then. And I must admit, when I was in the worst of it, although I was in this fear, and I was kind of praying a bit, I was just so overwhelmed with the pain, I wasn't really kind of analysing what was going on. But as I kind of came out of it, I said to God, what was that all about? Why, you know, after 5 years of it being stable, why did it suddenly flare up? And I think that's why I wanted to share. It sounds like it's nothing to do with being wholehearted. But then God actually started showing me things that when I'm just walking along, walking that route through the fields in autopilot, I think it's fine, and I'm not even asking him about stuff. And there's areas of my life which are not under his influence. There are areas which are not whole, which are not healed, and I'm just trotting along, going on autopilot. And he didn't afflict it on me, but he said, I needed to speak to you, and you weren't listening. You were just going. You were just walking your route in your little daydream. And part of that is actually worship. Part of that is actually connecting with other people. Part of that is ministering to other people. So it's not that I wasn't doing, you know, that relationship with God, but it wasn't the whole way. It was like only so deep and not the whole way. And so then these sermons about wholehearted, I've been like that. It's not just, I mean, God will call us out of our comfort zone to go and to speak to homeless people that are walking past the street, to go to China. You know, he'll ask me to speak to people at work, to offer to pray for people. All that kind of stuff will be part of stepping out of that comfort zone. But it's also stepping out of the comfort zone so that you let him go to places where your hopes and your dreams and your future ambitions and desires are, where things are that you're holding on to keep yourself safe. And he's going, let go of that. And, you know, Jim's sermon in particular, what are you going to let go of to get your full hand, to get your full house? What are you going to let go of? And so that's what God's been challenging me on. Not just the outward, because that's obvious, but sometimes you can be doing the outward and still not letting God go all the way inward. It's both, isn't it? You've got to go deep, deep, deep into God so that we can go stretch far out in God. And it's got to be both those things. If we just do the activity without being deep in God, it becomes religion. If we go deep into God without doing anything for him and never stepping out, it just becomes selfish, you know, indulgence. We need both. We need to allow God to go all the way in to the untouched areas, the areas that are kind of put in a cupboard while you trot along through the fields on autopilot. Allow him to open the cupboards. But then, you know, when he does a wholeness in you, it'll lead to you being outward and wholehearted outwards as well.
A recurring struggle I've had as a Christian has been sort of doing quiet time. I'm sure I'm not alone in that, because I'm not really a morning person. And obviously in the day, it's very difficult to find some time during the day. And by the time I get to go to bed, I tend to go to bed quite late as well. So I'm always tired by the time I get to do that. So people say, oh, get up earlier and spend 10 minutes with, you know, in the morning, my head's just cabbage. So, but one thing that has helped me a lot over the last few years has been doing Animate. So this is not a whole thing about Animate, but it does come into it. But even if I'm honest, we stopped meeting as we used to meet like monthly as a group, and then for different things we stopped doing that. And I've not really done much of it in the last year. I've done it once and it was brilliant. And other than that, I've not done it. And it's a bit like, you know, like when you go to the gym or get some exercise, and you think, oh, you know, I feel better after you've done it for a few weeks, and then you think, why don't I do this more often? And then you stop doing it for various reasons and whatever. I'm sure you can all relate to this sort of thing. And anyway, so I've not done a lot of it, you know, not done a lot of time with God in the last year or so, and but I found a new place to meet with God, and it's in the sauna, which is a very strange thing. Because Edge Hill have got this new gym, and there's been a lot of teething problems, but I've treated myself and upgraded my membership, so I get to go in the sauna and the steam room, because I love the sauna and the steam room. And so after I do have to work out first. After I've worked out for about 45 minutes, then I'll go and have half an hour in the sauna. And generally, I tend to be on my own. It's very rare that anybody else is there. So the last few weeks, I've actually, in the sauna, I've actually had some quiet time and done some animating with God. And this week, I was animating. And this, if you do the Animate course, there's this a wonderful story, I think, about a young lady who struggled to relate with God. I mean, you know, I won't spoil the whole story for people who might want to do the course, but she was asked by her pastor, where do you see God? And she said, oh, well, yeah, I can see God. But he said, well, how do you see him? And she said, well, he's on the other side of the Grand Canyon, and he's looking the other way. And surprisingly, she didn't have a very powerful relationship with God. You know, she went to church and she was a Christian, but she had very little reality to her faith, and she wanted more of it. And you know, the story was that basically over a period of weeks and dealing with things, she ended up getting to the point where he was actually noticing her, and then he was like near her, and she could look at him, and all this kind of stuff, and that completely transformed her relationship. So while I was doing this animating in the sauna, I just had this sort of thing about, you know, God, and this story came back to my mind. And then I imagined God right up, looking right up into my face, you know, this close. And I found it really hard, you know, and I was thinking, why can't I look Jesus in the eye? And of course, a lot of it, you think, well, I don't deserve that. I don't deserve to look Jesus in the eye. I'm not good enough. I do things that are not right, and all these sort of things. And you know, but we know that's been dealt with. And by denying by saying I'm not allowed to look Jesus in the eye, you're denying all the things that Jesus did on the cross for you, for me. So, you know, I forced myself to imagine Jesus being right in front of me and staring into his beautiful face and his beautiful eyes like the best friend and the best dad and the best person you could ever, you know. And I could do it briefly, and then it stopped. And then I could do it briefly, and then it stopped, you know. But I kept doing it, and I'm allowed to do that. I'm a child of God, and I'm a co-worker, and you know, more than a conqueror, and all these things that we know when we're told, but we for one reason or another refuse to believe. And I just want to, you know, encourage everybody, you know, that this is for me the all in. It's so powerful, and you know, if we're going to be wholehearted, you have to allow yourself to connect with God in that way and believe all the things that he says about us, and to experience that connection, that deep, powerful connection, and not deny that you're allowed to do that.
Is that everyone? We don't want anyone sort of... I wasn't given a chance. No, it's fantastic. That's been fantastic. Let's put that song on again, please, Tom. Holy Spirit, rain down. We prayed it before. I don't know if anyone was listening when the kids went out. That's what we want, isn't it? We want the Holy Spirit of God. And that's that, to me, is that wholeheartedness. I've got a lot more time than most of you now, probably anyone. And just finding that, needing to find that time more where, yeah, I want the Holy Spirit to rain down even more. And even though I haven't got all the time in the world, but I've got a lot more time, it's easy to get, for me personally, just to get totally distracted with things and do wasteful things, like watching the telly or messing on your tablet and stuff, you know, instead of actually saying, Lord, you know, I want more of you. And that's what matters my heart's desire. I want more of you. Are you going to say to me, Brent, I want more? No. Okay. Okay, I want more of you. Yeah.
Okay.
Go on. Go on.
I said last week to Dave, I think you're going to be so blessed. Do you mind if I do it without? I'm a teacher.
Okay. No, it won't record. It won't record.
Oh right. Okay.
Doesn't matter if it's not recorded.
I had a lot of dental treatment on Thursday, and I was a bit, Wednesday. Thursday wasn't too bad. Friday, aching a bit. And I thought, let's have a look at the Ivy website. A number of months ago, I sent out an email that Aunt Delaney, or a blog that Aunt Delaney had sent out, how to be a prophet without being weird. And it was a guy called Brad Jasek. And it was really good. And I sent out an email and I said, he'd been cancelled for coming. I said, when he comes, let me know. So he said he'd let whoever and he'd send me an email. Friday, I thought, oh, I'll just have a look. And he'd been. I was a bit annoyed. I thought, I'm going to send him a nasty email. I'm not really. And I started listening to him. And I sort of went off to sleep. Headphones on, computer in front of me. Something happened. I woke up, and I'm on my own. Where's Sue? So went upstairs. I've trained on how to do things in the dark when we've done stuff with, you know, how blind people cope. Into the bedroom, guard up. Flat out in bed. There's care for you. I could have been dead in the chair. Said to the next morning, why didn't you tell me you were going up? She said you were listening. I said I was asleep. So last night, really hard decision. Do I listen again? Do I listen to Eurovision? Or do I listen to a repeat of The Chase? So I went for Brad Jasek. And he looked at, I've lost it, started off by saying that we are part of a new covenant. And God's promise in Jeremiah, just do it from memory, is that, hold on, let's find it. Jeremiah 30, do you want to stop the recording when I look it up again? I had it a second ago. Jeremiah 31:33. For this is the covenant I will make with you in the house of the Lord. In those days, declares the Lord, I will put my law within them. Right, oh no, it's the wrong one, sorry. What he says is, I will speak to you and you will hear me. I'll look it up afterwards. And he carries on to say, Brad Jasek, that he doesn't say, if you've been a Christian forever, that you will hear my voice. And he doesn't say that if you're a mature Christian, he says, I will pour out my, I will speak to all of you, young, old, everyone. And he carries on to say through this 50-minute sermon, this is just a snippet right about 12 minutes in, that he says, when you hear God's voice, people go, is it me? How many of you have heard God's voice and go, is that me? We're asking the wrong question. We're asking the wrong question. And what he carries on to say is, when you hear God's voice, that's a good thing that you can't differentiate between God's voice and yours. What you need to be doing is going, is it true or is it not true? That's the question you ask. And he talks about three of the fruits of the Spirit. Does it give me joy? Is it love? And do I have a peace about it? Does it match with what God's word says in Galatians? I'm not going to read that bit either because you've heard enough. I would suggest, it's just like the animate thing, there was parts of it that were just so like what Carl was speaking about, the animate, that I would suggest that you just sort of have a listen to it. It's the ivychurch.org, and at the top of the page, part way down, it says, listen. So you click on there, and there's a video screen in front of you, and there's a menu of the videos, and it's about three or four of those videos down. If you've got time to it, it's 50 minutes well spent. And another 4 or 5 hours well spent is go on to Old Rome Baptist Church, where the pastor there, John Kearns, Reverend John Kearns, has done a whole series on James. I have heard some of the best Bible teachers of the last century and this century. We're very fortunate. And that section on James is amongst the best teaching I have ever heard anywhere. He does each chapter, he does it over 5 weeks. So look at the sermons, have a look at them and have a listen to them, because that is absolutely brilliant. And I've said it before, I'm going to say it again. What are you doing with your time? Eurovision? The chase? Listening to God's word? How often do I not listen to God's word and watch tripe on the telly?
Yeah, let's just pray for a minute. I want this song, going back to this song, because we need God's Holy Spirit to rain down on us, don't we? That's what we want. God's Spirit to rain down. If you haven't listened to all our sermons, can I urge you to listen to them first? On wholeheartedness, yeah? Because some people maybe not have listened to them. But listen to them. Because we need to be whole. We want God to be in our life, don't we, centrally. Let's just listen to this song. And as we do, then just let's ask God's Holy Spirit to rain down on us individually, on us as a fellowship, on us as a community, and then out into the world, as far as China, Australia, whatever. Let's ask God to rain down. We need God to rain down, don't we? Just play that song for us, Tom. And just allow God's Spirit to do that.